Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Yes. Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the first time in 20 years, the Carolina Hurricanes are Stanley Cup champions. Carolina shut out the Golden Knights 3-0 last night in Game 6 to win the series 4-2. Carolina center Jordan Staal wins the Conn Smythe, given to the postseason MVP. At 37, he's the oldest winner of that award in history. The NHL draft is up next. That's next Friday in Buffalo. The Blue Jackets have the 14th overall pick. In baseball, Sunday, the Guardians were rained out in Cleveland. They'll make up yesterday's game with the Tigers in September. Cleveland had won 2 of 3 against Detroit. Guardians enter the week tied with the White Sox for the top spot in the AL Central. Cleveland's off Monday. They'll be without Jose Ramirez for at least a month. Ramirez broke a bone in his left hand on Saturday. As for the Reds, Cincinnati dropped 2 of 3 to Arizona over the weekend. Redlegs continue their 6-game homestand tonight against the Mets at 7:10. This update is sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or online at rcdrv.com.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do a live on a Monday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Quite a weekend for the Mickey Mouse Corporation. Get to that coming up at 9:45, 10 o'clock. Which Ohio team is closest to winning it all? And if they don't win it all, why won't they? We will get into that coming up at 10 o'clock. 10:30, Austin Ward drops by, as is customary. 11 o'clock, what we learned over the weekend blitz. And then at 11:30, Scooney Penn, because you're going to have to get a small point guard on when a small point guard runs the world of basketball the way that Jalen Brunson did. And by the way, their personalities, I think, sync up pretty well as well. So get Scooney's take on what we saw in the NBA Finals and Jalen Brunson's historic performance in the clincher down in San Antonio. But we do have to start here, and I feel like I've been doing this a lot lately. I didn't have this. And maybe it was a product of, I've had to reevaluate some things. Maybe it's a product of my silos. We live in a world now where you get fed the information, sports, social, entertainment, political, that fits your algorithm. And you rarely see things outside of that algorithm. And so we did a couple of shows last week. We had Mike DeCourcy on, I believe, on Friday. And he wrote the piece about why the U.S. men's national team wasn't as good as we thought they would be coming out of 1994, all those years ago, 32 years ago, why they weren't better, why they weren't contenders. We talked on, I think, Wednesday and Thursday. We discussed that it didn't feel like there was a whole lot of buzz for this World Cup, and that it felt a little bit flat. And I shouldn't put you guys into this. No need to lump you guys into this, but I cited the fact that, you know, this wasn't on ESPN. So is it being promoted, cross promoted by, you know, in NHL and NBA broadcasts? And, was it going to be something that would sweep kind of the nation the way that at least I remember in my mind's eye that it did in 1994. And my hunch was that it was starting to fall a little bit flat. Now, the one thing that I think that we probably got right was the Team USA can change that by their performance quickly, like quickly. If they go, then you're going to jump on board this thing. But that doesn't get us off. It doesn't get me off the hook. Because I just didn't see the buzz leading into it. And Bake, I think on Wednesday, you even said, you don't plan on really watching any of it. Well, I would tell you that I was dead wrong on this. We saw the numbers on Thursday from the Mexico stuff, and then the USA debuted on Friday night. Now, what was interesting to me, and I run a lot of this through the prism of my kids, they couldn't wait to watch this. They could not wait. They were trying to go to watch parties. Our local high school here had a watch party, that they put on the football field, and there were people with, watching it there. I mean, my God, did you see Bridge Park on Friday night? What that thing was like. And that experience was repeated around the country. Now, I have not seen the numbers for Friday. But before Team USA even took the field on Friday night, the enthusiasm in this country to watch them play in a World Cup on home soil was fever pitch, and I missed that. So this is something that is a challenge for what we do, in that we get siloed information. You get fed the stuff that you're interested in, and sometimes you have to work to find the other things. Well, people work to find this. And my guess is the numbers for this on Friday night will be astronomical. The watch party stuff that I saw around the country, and it wasn't just here, it was everywhere, where there were tens of thousands of people gathering to watch. And then you couple that with the most aggressive, forward-attacking United States international soccer display that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think it might be. It was a relentless attack out of Team USA. Absolutely relentless. Not just in the fact that they bagged three goals by half, but my God, they could have had six. They just kept going downhill, downhill, downhill. And Paraguay is not Curacao, like Germany beat 7-1 yesterday. They're not that. They're a quality team. They probably would have made the World Cup anyway, regardless of the expanded field. They're a quality team. And we absolutely buried them 4-1, and did so in spectacular fashion. And that experience on Friday kind of started to repeat throughout the weekend around the country. I don't know if you saw the Scotland fans as they won, and what the fact they would not leave Fenway Park, would not leave Fenway Park. I don't know if you saw in Dallas, Holland, the Netherlands, down in Dallas, and just swarms, tens of thousands of people. It was kind of a reminder of, oh yeah, this is still the biggest sport in the world, and this is still the biggest sporting event in the world. And while there's a million things going on behind the scenes, when it comes time to this event, it still wins. And when Team USA opens it up 4-1, you want to talk about getting them hooked? It's getting them hooked about as big as you can, Reese.
Yeah, 15.986 million.
Yeah.
From Fox Sports. It's the most watched U.S. men's national team telecast in English language history. Just for reference, the 2022 group stage opener against Wales averaged 11.7 million. Yeah. This was, you say all the time, act accordingly. This was how Team USA had to come out and play. And against, I don't know anything about Paraguay.
Yeah.
I know where they're located, and that's all I can give you about the country. But if they're not great, then you play them like they're not great.
Yeah.
And you beat them 4-1. Because now what this does is it sets up for Team USA. You need just to win probably one more match, and you're out of the group play, or you're out of group stage because your goal differential. This, and to the Columbus Crew, who I think are a probably give great credit to the growth of soccer in this community amongst fans.
Yep.
They held that soccer celebration at Bridge Park on Friday night that there were, I don't know if there were 1.4 million people at or 1.3 million people, whatever the Cabs parade had, but it looked just as big.
Reese, just say it emphatically.
There were 1.3 million people at Bridge Park Friday night for the U.S. men's national team 4-1 group play win over Paraguay. Confirmed.
What I didn't understand when I saw those pictures from Dublin in Bridge Park is... Well, they didn't leave any room for the e-bikes.
Good. Throw those into the river.
I mean, what are the kids on the e-bikes supposed to do?
I think that maybe all my ranting about it got him to lock those things up a little bit. It's a good point out of you. I don't know.
Those were incredible pictures on social, though.
Wasn't
seeing
it cool?
Those from Dublin and Bridge Park.
Yeah. As an aside, it did make me think, like, has Bridge Park become the place in this town where we gather?
At least the northwest side of it, which is growing by the day. Like, when do we start talking, having the conversation about, no, Bone lives in Dublin.
There's no,
what's a Marysville?
There's no line of delineation.
Yet. You've been assimilated like the Borg.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was thinking about that, seeing those images and thinking about, you know, the other places in town where those things would gather, you know, in a bygone era. Maybe it was Short North or it was Easton. When I was doing Crew Extra, when they would do these things, it was always out at Easton where they would hold, you know, these giant watch parties and all of that stuff. And Bridge Park has capitalized tremendously on all of it. Yeah, it was... It wasn't just. Here's the other thing, Reese. What did you say? Roughly 16 million.
Yes,
Friday
for the viewing numbers for Friday night.
All right, that's Friday night at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, folks, is the least watched night of television historically of the week. It's the one where you're going to do the worst ratings. That's why in the old days, like a lot of times, they would just replay. I remember NBC that did this for a while. They just replayed like Seinfeld and Friends and all that stuff on Friday to just, there's no reason. Like, let's just give this another run. Friday night is the worst. It's the worst. So if you're doing 16 on a Friday at 9 o'clock, that's probably the worst possible time. By the way, Fox, who's running this whole thing, really botched this because the next time Team USA plays is what, 3 o'clock this Friday?
Correct.
So the idea that Mexico got the better dates and times because Mexico's playing Thursdays. They're one of the hosts. And Canada is playing, are they Thursday as well, or are they Friday? Those are the three countries that are hosting it. And we are definitely drawing the short straw when it comes to game times.
So this Thursday, yeah, you're getting Canada, Qatar at 6, and then Mexico, South Korea at 9 o'clock.
So they're both Thursday. So those two host countries both get to play Thursdays. We got to play Friday. Still 16 million. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that number, but it's a hell of a number on a Friday. And you, Reese, you said the United States had to act accordingly. They did a little bit better than that, than act accordingly. They were kind of dominant. And I do think that part of maybe my surprise and joy in watching it, and the NBC and I watched it, the blonde and the other two were up at the lake. So NBC and I played, we had a great little Friday, a little golf, and then, dropped him off with his lady friend for about an hour. And then he was back home. We watched the soccer at 9 o'clock. So that's a big win for everybody. And we were watching this thing and just completely transfixed by it. And I had no expectations for Team USA because I really hadn't been paying much attention to the buildup. And then they come on like gangbusters. And now they kind of have the country by the throat. We'll continue here in a good weekend. In addition to that, two champions crowned, NHL and NBA. Big drought, one of the bigger, more celebrated droughts in all of professional sports for one, and a decent one in the other that may be a harbinger of things to come for the Blue Jackets. So lots to get to here on this Monday edition. We're off and running. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine to kick off the work week and much cooler with highs only getting in the mid to low 70s. And then for tonight, mostly clear overnight with lows down into the 50s. Tuesday will be a mostly sunny day and warmer with a little bit more wind and highs in the mid to upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, you've been around for a while like I have. You've learned a few things. Certainly think I know a little bit about this. Pests, ants, termites, no, not for me. That's why I turn to my friends at Rose Pest Solutions. Over 165 years of experience, they've mastered their craft, the nation's oldest family-owned pet control company. The pros from Rose protect Columbus homes and businesses with expert pest prevention and treatment. Got a pest problem? Rose's solution. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. Did you guys, Reese, did you have viewing party things on Friday? How did you take it in?
No, I watched it at home.
At home.
Yeah, it's Friday night at 9 o'clock. It's, you know.
It's late night.
Yeah.
You're getting old.
I'm 36 next month.
You've gotten old. How did this happen? How did Reese get old?
I survived. Look, I leveled up one year to the next. I survived. Survive in advance. Here I am.
Bake, you were calling the state baseball tournament and working that up in Akron all weekend. And first of all, before we get to it, Central Ohio State champions, how do we end up?
New Albany, won Division II. Watterson, nice. Fairfield Union, and there was another. Oh, Olentangy Orange all came up short, but New Albany got it done.
Nice. Congrats to those guys. And you were up there. Was it something as you were having a cocktail late at night or getting a late meal? Was it something that you found on televisions?
So I can tell you on Friday, mm-hmm. we did not get out of the ballpark till like 11:45 mm-hmm. because we had a couple long games. So I did not see anything Friday night on the World okay. Cup or any of that.
The what was interesting to me was, so we watched it, and then I mentioned the Amy and the two littles were up at the lake, and so they had like they watched it with a group of people up there, and we were watching it. And then what was amazing was it was a little bit like the More Cowbell skit, like I got a fever, and the only prescription is more World Cup, because we ended up the boys ended up watching all of it. Like the not like locked in. It was a beautiful weekend. We played golf, did all sorts of things, played hoops, played pickleball, all those things. But in terms of like if we were in the house, it was on in the background. And I'm not even just obviously not even just Team USA, like the Germany game. Last night, Sweden and Tunisia, that was on as they were monkeying around and playing stuff. And, they played quite a bit of FIFA. So like, it was one of those things that they were really, really into, this weekend. Like by far the thing that they were into the most was the World Cup more than anything else, even more than the NBA or the NHL, which we're going to get to in just a second. And it was a great weekend for all of it. What I think is going to be really interesting here, it kind of sucks that they play once a week. I mean, it stinks that they don't play again until Friday, and it's at 3:00 in Seattle against Australia. That stinks. But if they, I'm telling you, if they play Friday at 3:00 and they put it on Australia, who also won in their opener, if they, by the way, did you see those images in Australia of them winning a World Cup game? Man, massive, massive stuff. If they do that, then there's going to be, you're going to really get a fever here over the next couple of weeks, because this weekend they were competing with everything else for eyeballs. But those things are done. We've crowned a Stanley Cup champion. We've crowned an NBA champion. This whole week, this build up to it, what you're going to see is an incredible amount of enthusiasm for it. And I think it'll mirror what we saw in the Olympic, what we see every 4 years in the Olympic hockey, except bigger. It'll be like that, except bigger over the course of this week. And they kind of will have the stage to themselves, fellas.
Yeah, I think the big thing is like the watch party availability, especially at this time of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, you can fill up a place like Bridge Park, be in the streets, have the game yeah. projected. You saw the scenes from New York Saturday night. Like this is what summer can afford you there, when you're not even really out to watch a game, but because where yeah. you're at is where enough people are at, they have the game available. It's the best time of the year. I think it's the best sports viewing time of the year, because you can do it outside, in my opinion.
It's right there. I think you bring up a good point. I mean, that when you think about the best, especially when you factor in a World Cup with it as well, and you got your Major League Baseball, your crowning champions in hockey and basketball, and then you got a World Cup on home soil, all of those things kind of coming at once. Late September, late October is usually pretty yeah. great, because you got everything's kind of happening. Everything's starting and you're finishing baseball, and you have marquee football games in college, and the NFL's in the middle of it. Late March and April is pretty great, when you do March Madness and the Masters and opening day, and there's some juice to that, but you don't have the football involved. You're right on this is the thing that I think World Cup provides, and we saw it with the Knicks too. I didn't see it as much in Carolina, but I'm sure it happened there too. There's a communal factor to it. And this is the beautiful thing that still resides in sports. I say this all the time about a high school football Friday night. It's like the last community thing that we do in America is on a Friday night. The community goes and watches, you know, they're especially in states like this one. Everybody goes on a Friday night and watches the high school football team play by the thousands. And that's kind of the last thing. Well, this is like that too. you know, if you were at the crew watch party, which a great job out of you bringing and giving them the proper praise for that. If you were at the crew watch party at Bridge Park, that's a communal thing that you're all experiencing together. What else in our society does that other than sports? I mean, I'll wait.
Nothing brings you together like
a long time.
Yeah.
In, I think here in this state, in this town, we love jumping on a bandwagon, and we love it if that bandwagon surrounds a party. And I think that's one of the things why the World Cup is so big here, when you've seen the Blue Jackets in their couple of playoff, the 2019 Tampa series, the Cavs, when they have runs. This town, this city, this state will jump on a bandwagon like no other.
I think I've said this before about us. I think, and I don't mean this, I think some of it's a byproduct of Ohio State football. Columbus is very, now there are loyalists and diehards for sure, but not for the size of this city. This city is an incredibly, and I don't mean this to sound negative, I'm sure it'll be taken that way. This is a really front-running, bandwagon-ready city. We're ready. We're ready. Jump. Just give me a reason, and all of a sudden, ultra casual hockey fan becomes diehard, tattoo getting, sweater wearing, party going. We can't wait to do it. I've seen it with the Blue Jackets. I've seen it to a certain extent with the Crew. I've seen it with Buckeye men's basketball. Hell, I've seen it with Buckeye women's basketball, wrestling. I've seen it with there. If you get a little bit of a momentum and you go, we will jump on. We've seen it in the Cavs in the old years when LeBron was here. I'm sure if the Guardians or Reds ever made a run and were playing to the World Series, you'd have watch parties and you'd have all of those things. I think we are that in large part because of the standard that is Ohio State football, in that if you don't win 10 out of 11, we're not that interested in you. The general public, the diehards are. Guys like Baker are going to go to every single Blue Jackets game. Guys like Reese are going to watch every Guardians game. I'm talking about the casuals out there. You just have a standard before you're going to get into it. And I think to bring this full circle to Team USA, we kind of had a standard. Like, prove to me that you're worth my time. And they did. And now they got to do it again on Friday. But if you supply that excellence, we will jump on the bandwagon in the biggest way possible. And you will see tens of thousands in the streets.
The phrase, strap a rocket ship to it.
Yeah.
I think you might be able to add that phrase to it if they beat Australia.
Oh, God. Yeah. And
that, I think, kicks it into another gear that we might be unfamiliar with just because it's been so long.
Well, it'll be most similar to like USA hockey, except it'll be warm. You know, I mean, I think it'll be like that is what will happen. They are going to benefit guys tremendously by having this week to themselves. Like, there's not a game 6 in the NBA Finals tomorrow night. There's not a game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's done. Like, they have it. They own it. They've got this week to build up to it, which is going to be pretty cool. A couple other things around the sports weekend. Boy, it's amazing, and this has been going on for a while, how much June has become the recruiting month at Ohio State. This is when they have all of their... It's crazy. All their official visits are done over this three-week June. You're right, they have to. It's part of the way that the system is run now, but they do all of this stuff in the summer now. So they had massive weekend last weekend, another massive weekend this weekend. Deontay Malone out of Massillon chooses the Buckeyes, committed over the weekend, four-star corner for the Tigers. He committed over the weekend as well. And then what do we have? We got some bad news on the baseball side of things here, Reese?
Yeah, Jose Ramirez broke a bone in his left hand. It's a similar bone to one he broke in his right hand a couple years ago, and he missed a month. I don't think they've scheduled surgery for it, but fortunately the Guardians are in the AL Central. So all you got to do is be better than the White Sox. Chase DeLauter's got a rib injury, but he got a CT and an MRI, and Steven Vaught, like, they postponed yesterday's game that Travis Kelce was supposed to throw out the first pitch. Vaught said he was sore and he'll probably play this week. On Helmart. So they lost three Guardians yesterday, and it was like maybe the pitchers come out of the bullpen and play in the outfield. Doesn't look like it. Looks like a lot of really bad was avoided. Losing Jose for a month's going to stink, but again, the division stinks.
Yeah.
Bo, real quick on Deontay Malone.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see this kid play in person. I watched him, called the game when they played DeSales in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed this kid is 6 foot. I would have guessed he's like 6'2" because he's a long, he's like skinny and long, but obviously okay. He's very strong when you see some of those numbers of what he can do. He is a very twitchy athlete. He was a good receiver and return man too. He mm-hmm. is somebody that I think at Ohio State with Tim Walton's coaching could be a really, really good cornerback. He is very athletic.
He's actually the perfect blueprint for what they would want in an in-state recruit, because what you just talked about was frame. You talked about traits, elite traits, twitchy, just needs to be fine-tuned. So then all of a sudden you get under Tim Walton and you get under Body by Mick, and now away you go. So he kind of checks all of the boxes that you would want if you're Ohio State from an in-state recruit. We had history made on Saturday night. Did I see it? No, I did not. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Juice?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Monday edition of the program. Saturday night, Spurs are up 10, 7 minutes to go. It's 5-11 at night. The eyes are getting heavy, and I'm looking at this thing, and it just felt like, and Brunson was playing well, but he was kind of all they had going. And I just said to myself, they're not doing it again. Like, this will go to a game six. They're just not doing this again. They'll go to a game six and I'll watch it then. And the boys were still up and they were kind of watching it. And the blonde was up and she was watching it. And I started doing what I do, which is 5-11. I go to bed. That's it. Lights out. I'll see you tomorrow. And so put the dog away. I had to take him out, put him away. And she goes, what are you doing? And she's like, the kids are still up. And I'm like, I know, but I'm tired. Like, this is my schedule. I just stay on it. I'm old and I'm just stay on my routines. And she's like, but this could be it. They could win the champ. I'm like, I don't think it's going to happen again. Like, it feels like San Antonio is going to win this one and they're going to win it at home in Madison Square Garden. And that's the way it's going to go. So I'll see you in the morning. So I go to bed and wake up the next morning as I always do. On weekends, usually around 7, sleep in a little bit. And I wake up and I see 53-year drought ends. And I go, well, damn, I would have liked to see that history if I had just stayed up another 20 minutes. And they did it again. And they did so in a run that I don't think anybody saw coming. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm Shams Charania and I'm watching this stuff every single game, but I've watched quite a bit of the postseason. This is one of the most improbable runs to a championship in my lifetime. I don't know anybody saw this coming. This is a team that lost one game in the better part of a month. That's it. That's the list. They basically buzz-thawed through everybody. They came from 29 down to win one of the most improbable games that any of us have ever seen. They ended a 53-year title drought, probably the most famous drought in basketball, period, professional, college, any of it. It's the Mecca for a reason. It's probably the epicenter of basketball dialogue and hype and all of the things that come with it is New York and Madison Square Garden and all of it. And we've heard about it our whole lives. We know how great the atmosphere is. Everybody can remember that for whatever reason, Kobe, LeBron, Mike, when they played at the Garden, they played better, but they basically treated the Knicks as second-class citizens. They've had little blips of relevance in the mid-90s when Pat Riley was there, and then in the strike-shortened year where they played as an 8 seed in the finals. But for the better part of the last 25 years, they have been next to nothing. And then somehow they put this together. In fact, if you went to the start of the playoffs, I'd be curious to know what their odds to win the NBA championship was at the start of the playoffs. My guess is they were pretty long odds. I know that they were not even viewed in the same vicinity as the Cavaliers, let alone Oklahoma City and San Antonio. My guess is several West teams, maybe they were the second team in the East, probably the third behind Boston, too, would be my guess at the start of the postseason. And yet they did it in the most clutch way. Jalen Brunson had a play in the fourth quarter where he is isolated against Wembanyama. Wembanyama is roughly a foot and a half taller than him. And he somehow scored in the most improbable way. It was history. I mean, if you're, no matter what age you are, but certainly if you are of certain age and you've been hearing about all of this with the Knicks and how great their fans are and all of this stuff, this was one that you just never thought would ever be broken. I mean, this felt like the Toronto Maple Leafs. And for the longest time, the most incompetent ownership, the most reviled ownership, certainly on a short list in all of sports with James Dolan, who was just mocked incessantly for most of my life. And then he gets the Larry O'Brien on a Saturday night.
How about
San Antonio. Crazy.
Yeah, in terms of odds in the Eastern Conference, the Knicks were fourth in terms of odds to win the Eastern Conference going into the postseason.
Fourth in the East,
Reese. Celtics, Pistons, Cavs.
They were 17-1 at the start of the playoffs to win the NBA championship.
So it's probably, what, like the seventh or eighth choice?
Mm-hmm. Considering the teams out west, yeah, sports odds history, which I didn't know existed until ESPN told me, says that they're the third biggest long shot to win the championship in the last 50 years. The entire time on this show, we talked about you don't want to see Boston. You do not want to see Boston in the postseason. And there's New York now with the championship. And the scenes from New York were great all weekend.
Yeah.
And that'll be, I think the parade's tomorrow. So that'll be a hell of a thing.
That's going to be a scene.
But even for next season, you think New York keeps everything. It's not like, I mean, teams should be clamoring for Mitchell Robinson. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. But according to DraftKings, New York's got the fourth best odds next season. And I think that even changes once Giannis goes somewhere.
I'm trying to think of, I suppose it doesn't have the historical significance of it. The only one that I can remember that seemed kind of come out of nowhere was there was a Pistons championship in the middle of the 2000s with Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups that kind of came out of nowhere. The Lakers were really beat up and battered in those finals with Kobe and Shaq. And it
Ben
was
Wallace.
Ben Wallace and Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups, like Rasheed Wallace. Like that was kind of an improbable championship. But I don't know that we've ever had anything quite like this. Like, I'm trying to think even in my lifetime, like kind of fourth pick in the East. The one thing about the NBA finals is it is the NBA playoffs. It's not fluky. The best team wins because it's best of seven the whole time. So unless there's freak injuries or something, the best team usually wins. You don't have this. This is more like what happens in the Stanley Cup where you have like a goalie get hot and you can go win the Stanley Cup. That happens. We don't have any. There's no doppelganger for this.
And maybe shame on us,
maybe.
Right, for not realizing that this Knicks team had been knocking on the door. Jalen Brunson, yeah, he's small, but this dude is a bona fide superstar. Like, he is an alpha in the NBA, as alpha as any there is. And that doesn't mean he's the best player. It doesn't mean he's top five. I don't know where he is, but it's just a mindset with him. And a lot of these guys have played together. I think the best thing I saw on the internet was somebody took a Villanova hat and they stitched Knicks in on top of it. So the V looks like a Roman numeral five. And it says Knicks in five now. But Carl Anthony Towns is a really good player. You mentioned Mitchell Robinson. OG Anunoby had some long runs in the playoffs with the Toronto Raptors, and he's a great player offensively and defensively. And we probably don't give Mike Brown enough credit for being a good coach. We say, well, he won championships because of the players he had, and not him, but Mike Brown is a damn good ball coach.
He is, and they actually built a team. They built a team. And they leaned on Villanova, obviously. Bake, you may have been off last week when I referenced this, but Kenny Smith said something about Jalen Brunson when people were asking him about him. So he's just a winner. Like, he was the point guard on the 19U AAU National Championship game. He won two national titles at Villanova. He was the National Player of the Year at Villanova and now has won an NBA championship with the Knicks. The Knicks. They're the laughingstock.
the god of the tri-state area.
My God, like they just don't. Knicks don't do this. I mean, it's just not what they do. And the one thing, and I made this point, I got several buddies who were native New Yorkers. The Knicks are the one unifier. Some are Mets, some are Yankees, some are Jets, some are Giants, Rangers, Islanders. Fine. They're all Knicks fans. They are the biggest deal in New York. Because they don't, even bigger than the Yankees, because the Yankees have to share. There are Mets fans in New York, lots of them. It's all Knicks. That parade's going to be nuts.
Could you imagine being Dallas Maverick fans and knowing you had Brunson and Luka and you got rid of both of them?
How did they not know?
Well, they have an idiot that ran the franchise.
I guess.
I mean,
was he responsible for the Brunson one too?
Pretty sure it was Nico Harrison.
Was he involved in letting him walk?
See how long he
was. And good job on the Knicks for realizing.
Yeah, and then good job on them. Leon Rose is the guy that they hired, longtime agent. They hired him. Give Dolan some credit. He hired him, and he let him run his operation. And boy, did he run it. And so they end a 53-year title drought. Top of the hour, we're going to talk about some of the other droughts and which of our teams are close to this. Speaking of droughts, it's only 20, so I'm not going to act like it was some big starvation that Raleigh has waited for another Stanley Cup. But they got a second one in the decade over the weekend. We will get into that and potentially some positive things for you, because guess who was part of the building of that? A guy you know quite well. We will get to that and a very big weekend for Mickey Mouse coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on the
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Man, I remember when Jordan Staal was with Pittsburgh and went to Carolina. That was 09. He was one of those bright young stars who was coming up through Pittsburgh. Bake, how did he end up in Carolina? Was that a free agency or was that a trade? His brother played there, right?
I was going to say, I think it was free agency. He went there to play with Eric, who was their number one center and kind of the face of the franchise.
So he is becomes the oldest player in NHL history to win the Conn Smythe. That ridiculous goal. What was that in game four? Five. Had the ridiculous goal in game five that propelled them to a win there. And then they go ahead and do it. Rod Brind'Amour is the one in charge of all of this. 14th person to win the Stanley Cup as a player and a head coach. So he is iconic when it comes to Raleigh and the Hurricanes and all of it. The game fell flat. Let's just call it what it is. It fell pretty flat. Golden Knights did not have a whole lot of pushback in the clinching game six. So both of these, both the Knicks and the Canes clinch on away ice, which kind of sucks a little bit.
So Staal was traded in 2012 to there for a first round pick and a couple of players. And again, I think that was a cap crunch situation with Pittsburgh, probably, with Letang and Malkin and Crosby and Fleury, and they had to choose. And plus that reunited Jordan with his brother there. Last night, the Canes get that early goal. And then right after, Vegas kind of had a breakaway and a chance to tie it, and the save was made, and it was like, uh-oh, this might be a long night for Vegas, and it ended up being so.
I thought the ESPN broadcast did a really great job last night, and they were at times begging Vegas to shoot. They were just begging Vegas to be aggressive on offense, and Brandon Bussey was a backup for a lot of the season. Back up to start the playoffs, and a great credit by Brind'Amour to throw him in. And you talk about needing hot goaltending to win you a Stanley Cup. That's how they flip the script.
Is this a warm blanket for Jacket fans that Don Waddell basically built a lot of this?
I think you could get there for some.
I didn't even think about it till you just said it.
But
I mean, he was there through 2024.
To me, no. And I don't want to besmirch Don Waddell at all. And he definitely helped build this team. That's a good franchise in Carolina. They've been pretty good for a long time. They won a cup in 06, and they've had chances and been knocking on the door. Don definitely had a big part in this, and he did everything down there. He was not just the general manager. No. He was like the president and took care of the business side of things, too. I guess
10 years, guys. He was there from 14 to 24.
I guess for me, I got to see it. And as much as I think that the Jackets are kind of on the right path, I've got to see it to get the warm blanket.
Yeah.
You get Dylan Larkin, then we're talking. Hey?
It's funny. A buddy of mine texted me. He's like, well, this gives me hope that in the next 5 years, because, you know, Don was an integral part of building what they had in Carolina. And I heard Brother Bone say this morning, like, you know, like Raleigh, the metropolis that is Raleigh, and they are able to attract players. Yeah. It's the chicken before the egg. Can you attract players to the non-glamour markets? Yes. Do you know how? Win. I don't think it's any harder than that. I mean, certainly the climate's a little better in Raleigh than it is here, but it's not crazy better. It's just they win, and they've won a lot in 20 years.
We're saying that, though, but I don't see Carolina on Dylan Larkin's trade list. I don't see a lot of people, big-time free agents, signing in Carolina. We mentioned Jordan Staal. They traded for him. Sebastian Aho, they drafted. Svechnikov, they drafted. They haven't been able to get a big-time goaltender to go there. Freddie Anderson was kind of an afterthought. Mm-hmm. And they've tried to replace Frederick Anderson multiple times, but he keeps winning the job. Dougie Hamilton, was a guy that they had traded. He's not there anymore, but a guy that they had brought in via trade. So there's a lot of guys there. I don't know how many free agents are heading towards Carolina.
1 hour ago, when that buddy of mine sent me that text, my response was, well, we better hit on picks. Because that's it. You have to hit on picks. If you are in one of those markets, it's not a glamour market, then you have to hit on your picks. It's just as simple as that. And for the Blue Jackets, they have to make sure that the hits that they do hit on are developed properly. I mean, this doesn't need to turn into an entire Blue Jackets thing, but one of the most stupefying things that we all saw last year was what happened with Kent Johnson. I mean, that just couldn't happen. That can't happen if you're trying to build towards being a cup contender, let alone just even trying to become a continual playoff contender. That couldn't have happened. Like, you need more. And so you have to hit on picks. You're right, Bake. They're not a free agent destination. They've drafted incredibly well. And then they had the connections with the Staal brothers, where that helps, where you get basically the entire career of Jordan Staal. So that's certainly a win on that. You know who else won pretty damn big this weekend? Mickey Mouse. Disney, ESPN. Guys, you watched an NBA champion crowned on ESPN ABC on Saturday. You watched the Stanley Cup go up on Sunday. They're going to have, they get the College Football National Championship every year. They're going to have the Super Bowl this year. I'm sure you saw the advertisements for that. They have bet, that corporation has bet as big as they can on traditional American sports. Now, they've gotten away from baseball. They've gotten away from, they used to have the World Cup. They've gotten away from that. They are all in on college football, the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL. And they had themselves a pretty dang good weekend when you're getting all of that stuff on your air. And especially when you consider the amount of people that are watching this type of stuff versus the amount of people who are watching just regular programming that are being spun out by the other networks. They put themselves in the catbird seat here pretty good.
It's one of the reasons they're able to pay Pat McAfee reported like $60 million and not feel too bad about it.
So, you know, and I saw that. Good. First of all, incredible for Pat. Absolutely incredible. You know what, too? He's worth it.
Yeah. And aren't they paying for that whole operation? Like, you don't
just pay the man,
but you get the show, you get the facilities, you get everything that he does. And
he is, I mean, him and Stephen A are basically ESPN. They're everywhere. I mean, Pat was he at the NBA finals?
Yes.
No, and then I saw him at the World Cup. He was at the World Cup on Friday in a loge, and then he's everywhere. He does College Game Day, does everything. Stephen A's kind of the same. And I always tell people this, if you're in the business world, this is why our business is pretty good business to be in. We have to have a studio and we have to have all the folks behind the scenes, and we got to have, you know, people who make sure that we get on the air, incredible engineers who make sure all of those things go smoothly. But the content, the content, it's the three of us. So like if you're Pat McAfee, he's filling 3 hours a day of content that is on television, in a podcast, on YouTube, on ESPN, all at the same time. Stephen A's doing the same thing. He's doing his show, then he's showing up on NBA everywhere. So, yeah, I mean, Pat's, a lot of people thought he was crazy when he left the Indianapolis Colts. Real quick, I know I'm up against it, but I'll tell this really quick. The year that the Browns went over to Indy and did joint practices with the Colts, you guys will remember this as the game where we found out Andrew Luck was retiring. Remember, before the preseason game on a Saturday? Pat McAfee was set up on a folding table in a folding chair doing his show at the Colts facility. That's 2019.
Hell of a bet on himself.
Dang. The biggest you can bet. And he hit it as big as you possibly can. One of the great championship droughts in sports has come and went. Which of the teams we talk about most is closest to winning? And if they don't, what is the reason why? We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Carolina Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup on Sunday. First time since 06 for the Canes, who shut out the Golden Knights 3-0 last night in Game 6 of the Cup Final. 37-year-old Jordan Staal was playoffs MVP. He's the oldest player to win the Conn Smythe. Next up for the NHL is the draft next Friday in Buffalo. The Blue Jackets have the 14th overall pick there. In the NBA, the Knicks ended their 53-year title drought, winning the Larry O'Brien Trophy over the weekend in San Antonio. New York's going to hold their championship parade Thursday at 10 a.m. The NBA draft starts next Tuesday at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. The Washington Wizards have the number one overall pick. In baseball, the Guardians and Tigers were rained out Sunday. Cleveland's off Monday in Milwaukee Tuesday. The Reds dropped 2 of 3 over to the weekend of the Diamondbacks. Cincinnati hosts the New York Mets tonight at 7:10. You can hear that game on The Fan following the Buckeyes show. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, a little bit of breaking news on the Brendan Sorsby situation. This from the Big 12. Presidents and athletic directors have requested the Tech not play Sorsby, but the school has not agreed, resulting in the league considering monetary sanctions. Well, that's not going to do them any good. That's for me, parenthetically. Or ban on competing in the Big 12 championship game. The Big 12 has filed a league complaint in federal court against Texas Tech and the Texas Attorney General, seeking declaratory judgment and a preliminary injunction to enforce its bylaws, potentially sanctioning the school for its plans to play Brendan Sorsby. So then I just simply ask you, when we get to September, after the two games and he served his 2-game suspension, will he play at Texas Tech? Or I guess the other side of that is, does he ever play for Texas Tech again? Or does he just say, the hell with all of this, let's go supplemental?
Yes, he plays. This is a 47-page complaint that was filed this morning. And there will be more legal fights, but I don't see any chance that anybody is able to rule against him. At least in time for the football season, which is really all you need to do. You get the injunction that sets it until February when they actually do this in court, and it doesn't matter then.
I will go, especially now that the Big 12 has pushed back on this. If I understand it's going to be more legal action again, oh well, it'll be after the fact. If I am the Big 12 or the NCAA, I say I do not care that a federal court said he's eligible. This is against our rules.
Mm-hmm.
In any game he plays, you forfeit. It will not. You will not count. You used an ineligible player, and we are not. Those games are out. You do not win those games. The records are just off the book. I would do that. And if I was the Big 12, I would also threaten, like, you're not playing by the league rules. Kick them out.
This is an injunction of the previous injunction is what they're wanting. And then Texas Tech will fire an injunction of that injunction against the injunction that was given by a Lubbock judge.
It's a question, Baked, your stance on this is one where it's a question of can the Big 12... I guess what the Big 12 is saying is we will not be pushed around by one school. And they can do so because that one school. Now, the irony of this, of course, is this is a conference that was pushed and into a corner and poked on the forehead and patted on the head and said, be a good boy by one of its former members in the University of Texas. Texas did that. Texas pushed back. Texas said, we're going to do what we want. And it probably cost the Big 12 its standing as its ability to generate massive revenue. It probably caused the Big 12 to be poached, both Texas and Oklahoma, because of the way that they allowed Texas to behave. And I think this is them pushing back on it. If you're Texas Tech, my hunch is, knowing what we've seen from Texas Tech to this point, that they'll push back. I think they will. Now, this goes to something we talked about last week, where if you're the College Football Playoff Committee, and if the Big 12 bans them from playing in their championship game, then all the College Football Playoff Committee would have to do is say, yeah, you're not included. It's a completely subjective process. They are not entitled to anything. You would never do this, but the committee could put together the 12 teams that they want, regardless of success on the field. I mean, they could do that. There's no algorithm that you're putting these teams into. This is just people in a room deciding. So if they don't play for a Big 12 championship, if they're ineligible to play for a Big 12 championship, then all you'd have to do is say, fine, play your schedule. Whether you play them or not, they all count as L's. You're playing an ineligible player, and the College Football Playoff Committee could just keep them out, theoretically. Now, Texas Tech would then sue that. They'd file a lawsuit against that, and then that's all. It would just be you sue me, I sue you, over and over.
Great, but then it will have already happened.
Yeah, this
it
just
will
gets...
have already happened, and they won't be in.
Well, I mean, that would be great if adults could have could act in this, and you could have some sanity restored, a little bit of sanity restored to college athletics. But it's just not the environment we're in.
I said this last week to Doug, and I've been thinking it for about a week. I think he's not going to play for Texas Tech, and I think he's going to go to the supplemental draft, and I think he's going to be the one that says, okay, I'm good.
I hope so.
I don't want this. I don't need the hell that comes with this. I don't want to spend my summer in court. Now, the sticky part would be he'd have to give back some money, but we know he made $900,000 at Cincinnati. Obviously, that's not $5 million. But he's going to be a second-round pick on a supplemental draft. He can very easily pivot to that and find a way out here. Because I imagine if it was your son. I mean, I'm old enough. He could be my son. He's old. I mean, I guess all of us. He could be. Reese, you would have to start really early.
Yeah.
But you know, he could be. And if it's your kid, would you want him to fight this fight?
No.
I mean, you have Texas Tech and you have the Texas Attorney General on your side. You got Ted Cruz on your side. You've got some really powerful lobbyists on your side. But do you want to be the face of this thing?
And that's what I wonder.
And he's got an off-ramp.
So Cody Campbell is calling the shots here because he's writing the checks.
Yeah.
And if Cody Campbell's telling him, we paid you $6 million, you are going to honor your contract to us, we are going to fight to make sure you are on that football field. Do not worry about anything else but football. Here's $6 million. We're going to hold you to it so long as you play for us.
Boy, in this day and age, is that even realistic?
And Sorsby is proven he's the ultimate mercenary. Right, he got $600,000 to play at Cincinnati, and then he broke his contract early because Texas Tech said, we'll pay you more. And he left Indiana previously.
Yeah, that part about it, I think they all are. I mean, I think there are guys who are going to suit up in scarlet and gray this year that held Ohio State's feet to the fire and said, if you don't pay me, I'm out. There's a lot of them that did that. So I think that part doesn't bug me. That's just the product of it. I just think if you're him, yeah, you'd have to give back the money that Texas Tech gave you for NIL. But again, everybody I'm talking to says he's a second-round pick in the supplemental draft. So if that's the case, it's not what he was going to make at Texas Tech, but it's pretty good money.
Sure, but who does Tech have at quarterback?
But that's their problem. What I'm saying is, if you're him,
have Will Hammond?
If you're him, that's why I think this will be resolved by him. As I sit here on June 15th, and you say, how does this end? My hunch is, as it stands right now, because this is messy, man. It's really messy. And as a 22-year-old, I think he's 22, like, do you want to subject yourself to this over the course of all summer? And yes, Cody Campbell's going to go to bat to you, but it's your face out front. Look at all this coverage of this morning. It's his face that's on all of it.
Well, he's got to decide in 8 days, because June 22nd is the deadline to put your name in for that. And, Bo, you mentioned, too, like, he's villain number one in college football this year, and I don't know if he personally should be. I think Texas Tech should be for sure in this, but Brennan Sorsby is the face of this. He's the one that's going to get all the fans' vitriol every week, everywhere they go. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that can go away like that. He goes to that supplemental draft, that's gone. He would go to a team, my hunch is, he would go to a team that has a pretty damn good structure for him to paratroop into. Like, if he went to Pittsburgh in that organization and they said, we got you, you think anyone's going to talk about this stuff?
No, it'd be the perfect position for him to just get away from all of this.
The Stafford situation would have been perfect had they not drafted Ty Simpson. He could sit for a couple of years. Nobody would ever bug him. Philly. Like, there's places in the NFL, NFL markets aren't even aware of this, likely.
And somebody in the YouTube chat, Bo, talked about Michigan, and they said what Michigan did was against the rules, and I don't remember hearing this kind of talk for them, let Sorsby play. The Michigan stuff was 2 years after the fact when we were talking about that, and there was nothing you could do to anybody that was involved in it at the time. You can take care of this now with the person that did it, and that is Brennan Sorsby. And that can mean he doesn't play college football again. And I've said, go to the supplemental draft. I don't think the NFL should have the right to suspend him. He should be able to go right into the league and play tomorrow. But he should not be allowed to play college football again.
Well, and Harbaugh did get suspended. He missed, what, 8 games that year that they won it?
I think it was like six.
Six or eight? Six?
Was it four and then six, two for like a cheeseburger thing? Like, it's silly.
I don't know. He had a lot. And he's got a 10-year show cause and all that other
But again,
nonsense.
A lot of, like, that stuff comes after. Like, all
it wasn't
the,
going into a season.
It wasn't
like
going
this.
Into it.
Yes. And you can rectify this and nip it in the bud now.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. And so we'll see. We'll see. You said 7 days, June 22nd?
June 22nd.
What's that for? 7 days to supplemental?
Supplemental deadline. So, you know, he's got 7 days to decide if he wants to keep fighting this. Now, if he keeps fighting it, even if he's ruled ineligible or all of these things happen, he's going to get his money. So he gets it, and he can be in the draft next year. He just, who knows the chaos? It's how much chaos do you want to sign up for? And right now, he's signing up for a lot of it. The New York Knicks ended a 50-year title drought. Of the professional teams in our fine state, which one is closest, and what will prevent the rest of them from doing the same? We'll get to that next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. And Timmy.
How could we be held responsible for...
We're not.
What the children... Not.
I believe the children are...
Much like smoking cigarettes, there's a warning label on this show.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan. It's sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine to kick off the work week and much cooler with highs only getting in the mid to low 70s. And then for tonight, mostly clear overnight with lows down into the 50s. Tuesday will be a mostly sunny day and warmer with a little bit more wind and highs in the mid to upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. They've all been paid by the Cleveland Browns. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. We're proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly 8 decades. They will take care of you. I assure you of that. The New York Knicks end a 53-year championship drought over the weekend. We've got some droughts of our own here in the fine Buckeye State. We'll leave the Buckeye. Well, I tell you what, we may do this tomorrow in regard to Ohio State football, and obviously they're one of the favorites to win it. But if they don't, where are the weaknesses as we see them a couple of months out? Have a little fun with that maybe tomorrow on the program. But if you do, the professional sports teams of record, of note, in our state, and the distance with which they are away from a championship, because as we talked about with the Knicks, this thing kind of came out of nowhere. They were 17-1 at the start of the playoffs. They were the fourth team in the East to win it. If you were to rank these teams, then if you take it a step further and you say, well, if they don't win it, why won't they in the next however many years? Of the teams that we're talking about, and the teams we talk about the most are the Browns, the Bengals, the Blue Jackets, the Cavs, the Guardians, the Reds, Crew a little bit, but that's when you're winning championships, and they've done it. They're the most recent of these teams to win it. Just a couple years ago, one MLS Cup. So, and they've won a couple of them in the last 25 years. So they've been the team that's been consistently the best in terms of winning it all. Of these teams, the consistently team that's won the most in the last 20 years has been the Guardians. They just haven't gotten all the way to the top of the Cavs, obviously, with LeBron, won a championship. But if you look at these operations and think about which one is closest, it's Bengals by far because of Burrow. To me, I don't even know who I'm debating on who I would put second on list, but it is the Bengals. And then if you ask yourself the question, if the Bengals don't win the Super Bowl, why? And I probably come back to Zach.
I was going to say health, because Burrow got hurt or Zach Taylor did something stupid.
Is that it? I mean, there's nothing else. Like they should have all the pressure of the Bills and the Ravens. They should be right there with them as it's go time. They redid Burrow's contract, so now they can even add some more things to their roster this year that they see fit as we get into June and late July, right before camp. If there are cap considerations for other teams, they are now a team that you could go acquire somebody to play on their team. The Cincinnati Bengals are set up, man. Stay healthy. Don't blow it, Zach. That's it.
And then, yes, Chasm.
Who's next?
As good as the Guardians have been, they're nowhere near competing for a World Series. Like actually making it to the World Series. Like they're going to probably goof around and make the playoffs. Hell, I could totally see once Jose comes back, probably late July, they make a run and win the Central.
Mm-hmm. That's just what they do.
Winning the World Series. And they're the closest.
So we're talking about closest here. I think the Guardians are number two. And I think the reason is, one, they've been such a well-run organization, but also they have new ownership coming. Yeah. A new ownership that might have a little bit of money, and you've already seen a new contract for Jose Ramirez where they've deferred some of that money to when the new owner gets there. So if you keep the smart baseball people that you've had in Cleveland, and then you give them a little bit of cash they can sprinkle around. Now, I know that doesn't fully take shape, what, till 2028, Reese? But,
yeah,
I mean, it's not that far off.
Following the 2027 season, David Blitzer can buy the majority share of the Cleveland Guardians. Don't forget, because they might not play in 2027.
Now, do we have, give me a backdrop on his,
what are we New Jersey with Devils, Sixers, he owns them. He might have part in the Commanders. Devils spend the most in the NHL, or one of the highest spenders in the NHL. The Sixers are building a new downtown stadium, and they'll spend. So I think it's something similar. He also brought on Travis Kelce.
So is he part of that Josh Harris group?
Yeah, Blitzer Harris Sports Group.
Okay.
Oh, they're all together. Okay, so they'll throw us. By the way, the idea that like Dolan doesn't have any money, like he can't spend it.
Got the spear prince.
When I was looking at like, so I wrote down like just up first thing that came to my mind. So Bengals, I wrote down, why won't they win it? I wrote Zach Health. Why won't the Bengals win it? Zach Health. Why won't the Guardians win it? I just wrote owners. And then hashtag Dodgers.
I mean, because if the Dodgers could do it, then every other MLB team should do it. So easy.
From the standpoint of like, in that sport, as currently constructed, can any team overcome that type of operation? With whether you have infinite resources. And there's several in big league baseball that spend that way and have infinite resources, but I guess that just comes back to ownership. I mean, so the only thing to me would stop the Guardians is ownership.
We've seen that happen though in baseball.
Yeah.
Where those things have happened. Now it may not be sustained success. The Guardians have sustained success, but they've never kind of gone all in and gotten over the top in 1 year. But the Dodgers have done it because they have a good organization and they brought in the right people. The Mets have spent almost as much as the Dodgers and they've been a dumpster fire.
The Dodgers are the smartest thing ever in that they got the guy who ran the Rays, who won with the Rays, and then said, what if we give a really smart guy unlimited resources? This is kind of what the Blue Jays did when they hired Shapiro. Really smart guy, give him resources, and they win the American League last year. All right, let's go through these. Reds. What's going to stop the Reds from winning a championship?
Just poor organization.
When Ellie goes to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Well, should help them because they should get a haul for it, but they won't. They'll mess it up.
They seem like forever away.
Yeah, they're the bottom of the barrel here to me. And it shouldn't be that way because they have a good young nucleus right now and they have pitching, but they just do everything so poorly.
Yeah, it just really seems like a really poor run operation. I don't follow them as close, but yeah, they got a great young core. Incredible fan base that loves them, but they feel further away than Guardians. Browns.
They need a quarterback.
That's it.
Closer, I would say, than the Reds. Not as close as the Guardians.
I have the Browns next to last on my list because there's just something up there that isn't right, that hasn't clicked since they've come back. And it's been...
It's quarterback.
It's been multiple different things and coaches and owners and yada yada. There's just something... Not right up there.
I'm with Reese. I think the something's the quarterback.
There have been other somethings, but the most glaring something.
For the last 10 years, since they went to the bottom and drafted number one in back-to-back years, their rosters have been plenty good enough to compete. They just have not had the quarterback play. I mean, if you just draft Josh Allen number one, and you pair him with that offensive line and Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham and Nick Chubb, you're telling me that's not a Super Bowl contender? Just put Josh Allen on the 2019, 2020, 21 Browns with that defense, that offensive line, those weapons, Nick Chubb healthy.
Would Josh Allen have grown the way he has, though?
We'll never know.
Under this regime.
We'll never know. I mean, it probably, if it's Allen, it's probably, that's such a crazy sliding doors because I wonder who's coaching him. I mean, Hugh Jackson was the coach at the beginning, and then that was a mess. Is it something, maybe Todd Haley coaches him longer at that point? Maybe Greg Williams sticks. Maybe Greg Williams becomes the head coach. Big reason Freddie Kitchens got the job is he was buddy-buddy with Bake. That was a big part of it, and Dorsey liked him. But, like, you had all the pieces there. For a sustained run. I don't think it would have been Stefanski. I don't think that's it. Blue Jackets.
Better odds than the Browns, than the Reds. Mm. Not close to the Guardians.
I'd have them below the Browns.
I'd have them around the Browns.
I have them above the Browns, just barely. And I think the reason... that I do is you mentioned Don Waddell and what he did in Carolina recently. And I think they have a franchise player in Zach Werenski. And I think they have a goalie in Jet Greaves that could get you there. And I think you have two budding superstars in Fantilli and Marchenko. Now, maybe that doesn't pan out with either of them.
Stars or superstars?
I think they're both budding there. Marchenko's closer right now than Fantilli, but I think Fantilli's ceiling is higher.
Okay. But they got a lot of building that needs, and they need some guys to really come along. Last one, the one that going into this season we just said was probably the closest is the Cavaliers. This is a massive summer for them.
Right under the Bengals, just because the $240 million roster.
Yeah, they're going to remake it. I know that they say they're not, but they are.
They have to.
Yeah.
But I still think with that owner that they're going to be competitive.
He won't let them not be.
Yes.
Yeah, he won't let them not be. It's a fascinating one. The Ohio State's answer to that question coming up with Austin Ward in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Indeed he is. He joins on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We were just kind of going through all the professional teams in Ohio, which one's closest to winning a championship, and if they aren't going to win a championship, what will prohibit them? Buckeye football, essentially professional football. If Ohio State doesn't win the national championship, why won't they?
That's a great question, bro. I think it's the challenge of winning the national championship in college football these days. I mean, I know that we can have the point of the conversation is what position group, what if there's a weakness on the roster, schematic change, transition. But like Ohio State, and this will sound hyperbolic, but they have the best roster in the sport. I think they have invested more in their coaching staff than anyone else in the country, and smartly done so. You know, they are not being shortchanged when it comes to the investment of those players. But the Big Ten has gotten better than it has maybe ever been. Not just two teams at the top, but four or five or six teams that are going to be in the college football playoff mix every year and can win a national championship. And then the format itself doesn't lend itself to, you know, people, when you look at the Super Bowl and, you know, well, they say it's hard to win because you got to go through the playoff. You got to beat three or four good teams in a row. Well, that's now the reality of professional football. In the Horseshoe and in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. So if there's something, you know, that trips them up in those talent equated games, you know, I think the position group that I am most uncertain about, and they have more than enough ammunition to prove any of the skepticism wrong, but I'm looking at what the run game looks like. You know, their injury histories for all of those guys on the top of the depth chart. I'm certainly, there's a little bit of recency bias on spring camp that has maybe outweighed what Bo Jackson did as a 1,000-yard rusher as a true freshman. But, you know, there are things about that with, you know, both personnel and scheme with, you know, we expect Arthur Smith to upgrade that and enhance it. And I assume that he will. I think that's a reasonably safe bet, but we don't know that for sure. So I don't think that it's just a matter of, I know it's trendy and common to point at the offensive line coming out of, the postseason, but I think it was much more all inclusive with, running back explosiveness, Julian Sand dealing with the pressure for the first time than just the offensive line. So I think it is the ability to run the football for me, Bo, that would have my attention the most outside of the actual difficulty of doing it, period.
So obviously you have no idea what I wrote down, and we didn't even have this discussion on air, but we were going to, and then the Swordsby stuff happened. I wrote schedule, hashtag, can they run it when the other team knows they're going to run it? But yeah. But that's it. I mean, that's it. They've got everything else. And you hit on something that we haven't had to deal with much around here, which is just the schedule. And we're a ways off, but just surviving that healthy, you're probably going to lose a game. You could even lose two, and I think you'd be fine. But can you survive that gauntlet relatively healthy? That's something we haven't had to do around here. Heck, even last year, it was like two games you pointed to on the whole schedule that you were kind of concerned about. This year, man, there's several.
Yeah, and I think that's why there's another conversation piece that came up a lot in Ryan Day's spring press conferences about tempo. And I remember, you know, I'm not immune from this conversation. I talked about it leaving Lucas Oil Stadium, and I referenced it again when we left the AT&T Stadium after the mm-hmm. College Football Playoff quarterfinal, which was Ryan Day's comments in late October and November that when it was time to hit the gas pedal, they would do so. But I don't believe that philosophy of managing reps, managing health, trying to emphasize efficiency over explosiveness, which, you know, that's not a fair way to characterize it because they're allowed to break 75-yard touchdown runs at any time they want.
Right.
Ryan is not going to tell those guys to take a knee after getting a first down just so they can work on the clock. But, you know, the point will remain that I think the, you know, era of no huddle, of, you know, sugar huddle, of pushing the tempo, of snapping it every 15 seconds, I don't think that's coming back for Ohio State because the level of play in the Big Ten, the physicality that's required, the additional games that are on the docket that you're going to, if you're going to win a national championship, which that goal is also non-negotiable for Ryan Day and Ohio State. So, you know, that they're still going to be trying to, you know, manage the wear and tear over the course of the season. Now, will they maybe get into some of those games and alternate some of the tempo more than we saw them do in the last couple games of the season? I would hope so. I definitely wouldn't mind seeing it. But in terms of overall philosophy, I don't think that's going to change because it has to be designed to get you to December and January with everybody that you are paying a lot of money healthy and available. So I don't expect that to change all that much either, Bo.
No, me either. I'm with you on that. One thing that's changed dramatically is now all of a sudden June is like the number one recruiting month. I mean, this is when all the guys come in. They come in on these weekends. Ohio State just finished a second massive weekend. Dream scenario, what do they want to get accomplished this June? How many do they want committed? What do they want it to look like? Are they accomplishing the things that they want to in the summer?
Yeah. I mean, you still have to circle the big date there, which – maybe we'll get moved up, but whenever David Gabriel George decides, I think is really the tipping point for this class as a whole. And, you know, I don't, it sounds like too extreme of a take, but like that might determine the success or failure of this particular class for Ohio State. And I know that there would be opportunities to look, what Ohio State is willing to pay David Gabriel George is, I think, definitely going to be less than Tennessee. Let's say that money wins that recruitment. I don't think it's going to be a secret that Ohio State is now willing to invest in that position in a special player at basically twice the rate that they paid for Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. So, you know, if they don't win this recruitment, and I still think that Ohio State's in a very good position, and there's a lot of people at this Scarlet Golf Course that I'm going to talk to here in about an hour for the coaches outing who think they've done everything possible to put themselves in a spot to win that battle, to maintain their position with, you know, the five-star defensive end that they've been one committed, one that visited 2 weeks ago. You know, those are critical. But I do think that, you know, word would get around to whether that's the transfer portal or anybody else that could reopen their recruitment if Ohio State does come up short with David Gabriel George. But, you know, I think Carlos Laughlin has invested so much time, effort, and energy. I'm hoping to be able to tell a story about it when it's done, of the lengths that he's gone to get, you know, every part of the, whether that's the language or, you know, learning the background of the family and the aunts and uncles and everything else. It's been pretty impressive to watch. But I think any grade that we would give it is going to be contingent on what happens in that recruitment. And it's an unusual position for me to be in with that, Bo, because, you know, if we're going to continue the NFL and professionalization argument, I think running back has proven to be a position where you shouldn't invest to that level unless it is Saquon Barkley and maybe, you know, nobody else beyond that. But that's sort of the way Ohio State views David Gabriel George as an instant impact player for 2027. And so that's where much of this effort and intensity has been placed, even though there are a lot of other, you know, other positions they have to address. I think that they're largely, like, they've done a lot of the work with the top of the board. They'd like to have all of that done by the time that August rolls around. But and then the rest of the spots you sort of fill in, like undrafted free agents and bottom of the board with senior tape. But, you know, I think they put their best foot forward. I think they've had a very good plan. But the one thing they have to execute is what we're going to have to wait on for probably another month.
So for our audience who doesn't follow the recruiting all that closely, David Gabriel George is out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, five-star number one running back in the country, 6'205", Ohio State in Tennessee for him is the way this one is finally going to inevitably shake out. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. Is that the best Team USA Soccer has ever debuted in a tournament?
Not just debuted, Bo. I mean, it's probably the best performance that they've ever had in a World Cup. Now, because we're going to remove Gold Cup from the conversation. We're going to remove Confederations Cups. Like, they've had other, like, fantastic performances. And think back to, 2009 and wins over Brazil or comebacks or competitive games. Like, you know, hugely meaningful ones opening in 2014 in Brazil. But to go out and play with the style that they played with and the passion and the execution, especially up top, you know, that's always been missing. We could always count on the U.S. to go out, outwork their opponents, run up and down the field, you know, sneak one or two out, and count on really good goalkeeping. This is the first time that, you know, in my, you know, I don't know, 20 years of really following the national team closely, that what you saw from Balogun, the first half precision of Christian Pulisic, but really the finishing up top has been missing. We've not had in this country a striker that you knew was going to go out and potentially dominate a game. And we didn't know if Flo Balogun was going to do that on Friday night. Now we do. That's different for Friday, and then a week from Wednesday after that. So that was one of the most enjoyable performances from the U.S. offensively that I've ever seen.
No question. Yeah, I knew you'd be locked in, and you've gone to a lot of these, so this is a fun one, brother. Yeah. Look forward to hearing everything from the golf outing. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Can't wait. See you, bro.
There he is, Austin Ward, The Beat with Austin Berm and the Roosters live show on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh no!
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. Time for a little Thing or Not a Thing on a Monday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
The Milwaukee Bucks reportedly want to move Giannis Antetokounmpo before next Tuesday's NBA draft. Bill Simmons of The Ringer said on his podcast that the Greek freak is drawing heavy interest from his favorite green team.
I would definitely watch Boston potentially dipping their, the diving in, not just dipping their toe in, but diving in.
I think they dove in. They made, from what I heard, they made an offer in the past week, a couple of days before I mentioned on Thursday. I don't know what the offer was and I don't know who's in it. But they are in. Pat was in the ring, which I was really surprised by, as I said on Thursday, because I thought they were sitting it out. And I don't know. Do you think something changed? Do you think they looked at this from every angle, or that they realize, oh, that's it for the Miami offer. We can beat that. Like, what would have changed their mindset? Because I do not think they were in on Giannis at the beginning of the offseason.
I don't think they were ever out. I just, the safest bet is always inertia, right? Like, the safest bet is we know that the nucleus we have works really well, and there's some degree of risk in shaking that up for a 31-year-old who's been injury prone, and we're going to have to sign him to a ginormous extension. That's a big pivot for a team that has a pretty large window now of being one of the best teams in the NBA when everyone's healthy.
Thing or not a thing?
So this would be Jaylen Brown, right? I would assume he would.
If you're Milwaukee, I think that's where it starts.
Yeah. I mean, so Miami can't offer. Miami's offer would be around Tyler Hero. So Boston's would be around Jaylen Brown. And I would rather have Jaylen Brown than Tyler Hero. So that's kind of the way that would probably go. So then the question becomes like, well, okay, but what if somebody else gets involved? Like, could the Cavs offer the most? Maybe. I mean, because Jaylen Brown's 29. Like, how old's Evan Mobley? Like 24? I think he's still pretty young. 25? Like, if you're Milwaukee, I'd probably rather have Evan Mobley and a series of young players and build it that way. But if you don't want to trade him to Cleveland, who's kind of sort of an ish rival, and certainly ownership's interesting in that scenario, because that'd be, you know, the Haslam Sports Group trading to Dan Gilbert. So that would be a pretty interesting situation, all of that. So, I mean, certainly a thing. Like, Bill's not going to say stuff like this without being completely plugged in on it. So the question is, can anybody beat this offer? And then does Giannis have a no trade to where he can dictate where he goes? Because that's part of it, too.
It's a very interesting thing here with the Celtics. And I understand the team that usually gets the better player in the deal wins the trade. And I don't think there's any doubt Giannis is better than Jaylen Brown. But Brown had himself a year this year.
Sure did.
And you don't know how the chemistry will be with Giannis and the team you have. You know the chemistry with the team you have in Jaylen Brown is pretty good. So this would be fascinating to me. Bo, I kind of wonder, and I don't think they would, but would Oklahoma City think, man, we've got to combat what the Spurs have and what they've just done, and with Wimby, and could they trade and I know he's a great young player and he's gotten better, but they trade like a Jalen Williams, have a package around him and all these picks that they have that maybe Milwaukee would be interested in? Sure. That would be fascinating.
For sure. Would he want to play there?
Well, if he wants to win.
They all want to win so long as it's in a place they want to live. You know what I mean? Like, unfortunately. Yeah. So the last time Giannis played 80 games was 2016-2017. 36 last year, 67 the year before, 73, 63, 67, 61, 63. I mean, really over the last 7 or 8 years, he averages missing 20 games a year. That's kind of what you're signing up for.
As a Cavs fan, I'll talk myself into load management. If he goes to the Celtics, I'll say, yeah, you can't win with him. He's never on the court. That's how this is going to go. Again, next Tuesday for the NBA draft, Giannis does not have a no-trade clause, but he's going to be able to pick where he goes. The Cleveland Cavaliers and memorabilia company The Realist auctioned off courtside chairs from the Eastern Conference Finals Games 3 and 4 against the Knicks at Rocket Arena. So these were seats that had famous butts in them, like Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, Timothy Chalamet, Kylie Jenner, Ben Stiller, and Machine Gun Kelly. The chair used by Swift sold for the highest price.
Yeah.
$7,000. Kylie Jenner's chair, $1,500. Kelce's chair, $1,400. Chalamet's chair, I can't even pronounce his name, $1,200. Stiller's chair, just $700. Machine Gun Kelly's chair, just $600. Thing or not a thing?
Well, I would say whoever got the Stiller chair for $700, that's the steal of the whole operation right there. Travis Kelce's chair being only $100 less than Kylie Jenner's also strikes me as odd.
Cleveland guy.
You're buying a chair, though.
I understand.
I never even
that
heard
was
of,
sat in by a
never
human.
Heard of this thing for maybe for God's sakes. Maybe an hour total.
Yeah. I mean, like, what do you... What would you do with it? Hey, look at this. Let's say
you know
I bought
it. Whose butt was in this chair?
I bought it, and it was sitting in the basement. And like, so then would people come over, and I would be like, hey, you know what that is? That's the chair Timothy Chalamet sat in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Final. He sat in that chair. And then your reaction would be, oh, cool. Like, what are you getting at?
Here's the listing on the Realist. Courtside chair used by one of the biggest music artists in the world and a 14-time Grammy Award winner during the Eastern Conference Finals Game 3 at Rocket Arena. Here's what I like about this. A portion of the total proceeds from this item will benefit Heights Schools Foundation initiatives to help students throughout the Cleveland Heights City School District.
That's all very cool. I'm sure that they did the right thing on all of it. The Swift thing I get because she's basically like Elvis, Michael Jackson, all of that. So that I get, like anything tangentially touching her is goes for crazy amount of money. That one I get. The rest of them I don't understand. Like, what do you got? Oh, hey, what is that? Oh, that's Machine Gun Kelly sat in that chair Game 4. Oh, okay. Great.
I feel like you'd have to pay me to take Machine Gun Kelly's seat, quite frankly. But this is an amazing thing. I don't know who thought of this, but what does a chair cost, like, to replace these? And can't be that much. Less than $100, maybe?
Well, no. So the ones that they sit in, we sit... I remember I told you that with the youth basketball, mm-hmm. like, we play a game up on the Cavs, on their court, and so the kids get to sit... Now, the ones that the players sit on are incredible. They're basically like a luxury, like a Mercedes S-Class type seats is the one that the players sit in. They have these huge, they're really high so that the players sit, you know, correctly. But even the front row are pretty nice. They're pretty, I think they're probably more than $100, probably a couple $100 at least, maybe $300, something like that.
Still, awesome job of them to get these seats, auction them off for a good cause, and I heard a comedian say this once, and every time I hear his name here, that's the only way I can hear it. They said Timothy Chalamet's name sounds like something in an Adam Sandler movie that Sandler would say, like in a happy, like a Billy Madison voice.
Shamaru.
And every time I hear it now, that's all I hear is Chalamet.
I think
was it Glazer?
Oh my God, she hosted the...
Glazer?
It was Nikki Glazer. Yeah, Nikki Glazer did it. Yep. We'll blitz the weekend coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The New York Knicks ended a 53-year championship drought with a Game 5 win over the Spurs in the NBA Finals over the weekend. New York's going to celebrate with a championship parade Thursday morning at 10. As for the Carolina Hurricanes, they ended a 20-year Stanley Cup drought beating the Vegas Golden Knights last night in Game 6 of their final series. The Canes will hold their championship parade in downtown Raleigh on Saturday. Who doesn't love a good parade? Next up for the NHL is the draft, which is next Friday in Buffalo. The Maple Leafs have the #1 overall pick. The Blue Jackets have the 14th overall selection. The Washington Wizards have the #1 overall pick in next Tuesday's NBA draft. Kansas star Darren Peterson has reportedly visited the Wizards and will not meet with other teams before next week. In baseball, the Guardians are off. The Reds host the Mets at 7:10. Hear that one on the Fan after the Buckeyes show. This update is sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or online at rcdrv.com.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Reaction Monday edition of the program. 1212, Scooney Penn going to join us in 28 minutes on Jalen Brunson and his incredible performance through the NBA Finals. We kick off the hour by blitzing the weekend. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present a weekend sports blitz.
Sponsored by Metal Supermarkets. Visit metalsupermarkets.com/Columbus for all your metal needs.
I believe I had that. Reese, what did you have?
I believe I had that the NBA Finals would be a gentleman's sweep. Outside of that, I didn't have much.
You did say gentleman's sweep. I mean, we have the audio.
We'll get to the rest of it in a second.
We have the audio.
I believe what I had was the New York Knicks when Reese was saying gentlemen sweep, and I said, well, I don't know about that. I think this is going to be a really good series.
You did.
I think I might even be leaning towards the Knicks, and I think I was doing that because I believed in Jalen Brunson. And crazy. Victor Wembanyama is a unicorn, and he is definitely a top five player in the NBA. But I just think Jalen Brunson is a true alpha, follow me to freedom guy. And I believe the Knicks all buy into that and follow him.
I think all of that's fair. I believe I had that when it came time for a World Cup to be played, I would be excited about it. I do love a World Cup. I love the patriotism for us and for others. It was something that I wasn't seeing kind of the statement in the build up to it, but once it got going, I was all in and watched. It was on pretty much nonstop all weekend. Not that I was sitting there watching it, but when we were in and out, always had a TV on it. And it's infectious. And it's pretty crazy to see like the Scotland game at Foxborough with 70 some thousand people watching it. I mean, it just was nuts to see all those German fans with Germany against Curacao in a game that ended up 7-1, but it was completely sold out. Like, there is something to it that is pretty unique and pretty special. I did not have that. What did you not have, Reese?
The New York Knicks losing, or no, winning, excuse me, the gentleman's sweep in the NBA Finals and breaking that 53-year drought, or ending that 53-year drought, I should say. All set for a New York City Championship Parade Thursday morning at 10 o'clock.
They'll be those are great, man.
I did not have that at almost 38 years old, Jordan Staal would win the Conn Smythe Trophy. He was brilliant in this series. 6 goals, 1 assist, 7 points in those 6 games. He had 5 points, 2 goals, and 3 assists in the three series leading up to this. Although he's the captain of this team, and I don't think we should be surprised if you remember way back when in April, when they started these playoffs, opening faceoff, he dropped the mitts with Brady Tkachuk and set the tone for the Hurricanes the rest of the way.
Yeah, he became the oldest to win the Conn Smythe. The previous record holder was Tim Thomas, goalie with the Bruins when he won it. So remarkable there. I didn't have the Knicks either. Not even so much so in this series. Like, you could tell that they had some juice to them with the way that they dispatched the Cavs. But I also didn't believe in this build for them. I didn't believe that they were a championship contender in any way. And I really thought that the Knicks, even more so than the Guardians or the Maple Leafs, would be the team in the franchise in my lifetime that would never win it. I just didn't think you could ever get over that ownership and how incompetent that it had been for so long. And to me, it just felt like they were going to be they were never even really close, really. And so for them to do it, no, I didn't have it in any way, shape, or form. Player who impressed.
Hurricanes goalie Brandon Bussey. Not only because I chuckle and I'm immature every time I hear his last name, but he came in relief in, what was it, Game 3 and Games 4, 5, and 6, especially last night in Game 6. He was incredible. Like, there was moments where the ESPN broadcasters were begging for Carter Hart to make a big save. Well, Brandon Bussey made him.
Yeah.
Bussey's story is pretty amazing, too. Made his NHL debut this year. Never a guy that was a high prospect, bounced around the ECHL and the AHL. Very, very cool story. Mine for the second week in a row is the Ohio weather. And I know there were some storms yesterday and there were some storms throughout the weekend, and you guys down here got it maybe a little more, but not one cancellation this weekend or delay due to the weather at the state baseball tournament. I don't think ever back-to-back weekends for the state softball tournament and the state baseball tournament have we had a weekend where the weather was so good, so much so that we were only delayed for 1 hour last weekend at the softball tournament due to some rain. It was crazy storms, Bo, in Akron Wednesday night. But yep. We weren't playing on Wednesday night. We were playing Thursday through Sunday morning, and we made it through unscathed.
Incredible. Incredible that you were able to do so. Player is going to be players, which is going to expand to country. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but when Japan got done playing the Dutch in their game against Dallas, the Japanese fans cleaned up their section. They clean up the trash. They bring garbage bags and they clean up their trash. If you look at the Japanese locker room after the draw, they fold all the used towels in a nice manner, clean manner. We could learn something from the Japanese.
No,
that's incredible amount of pride and diligence and give a damn about how people perceive you out of them.
That's cruel and unusual, Bo, to hold people to that kind of standard.
That's incredible.
How dare you?
Yeah, we just step over the trash. Someone else will do it. Player who disappointed, Reese.
Well, I guess I can't really be disappointed with the bodies of some of the players for the Cleveland Guardians because injuries happen, but 30-1 game, that was a hell of a Saturday. Jose Ramirez breaks a bone in his left hand. Chase DeLauder gets a rib injury. Angel Martinez with a foot contusion. Like the true walking wounded in one game. And kind of fortunate that they got rained out on Sunday to give at least DeLauder and Martinez a chance to not have to worry about going out there. But at least a month, the Guardians have to hold without J-Ram.
Player who disappointed for me this weekend was Carter Hart. You talked about him, Reese, and maybe this is some kind of karma in the universe, but he was pretty good in these playoffs up until this final series, and he gave up except for last night at least 4 goals in this series, and he just could never come up with the key save when Vegas needed one from their goaltender. He never got it for him.
So player who disappointed for me, I'm going to go to entities who disappointed for me. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but they're doing water breaks in the World Cup. This is a joke. This is about commercials, is what this is about. That's all it's about. It's about working in a commercial. That's it. We played a World Cup here before in 1994. We played World Cups in other places. You play in warm climates. I mean, they're giving water breaks in night games.
Indoors.
Indoors water breaks, Reese. These are not water breaks. These are, we're going to trick you into commercials.
The Fox experience.
It's bad. It's a bad job. Bad job. And a lot of the international players are noticing and commenting on how absurd it is. It's the greed of FIFA and those involved is
it's hard pretty to run hard around to for that long, Bo. Come on now.
Jeez, it's ridiculous. Yeah, as if they don't do it in all the rest of the year. Like they don't do it all the rest of the year, for God's sakes.
These guys some grace.
Unbelievable. It's not them. It's Fox and it's FIFA
Fox
that are doing it. The players are complaining.
Yeah, they want to keep running around.
They want to keep playing because they're used to it. That's how it goes. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week, Reese.
Mike Brown. Good for him. But nobody else. The New York Knicks in the organization, especially James Dolan.
You know what's really cool about Mike Brown?
Come on now. Chris Jent.
Okay, yeah, him too. Yeah, Chris Jent.
What's really cool about Mike Brown is, so this is his first NBA championship as a head coach. He'd won a title with San Antonio years ago as an assistant and then in Golden State as an assistant. He's had a bunch of head jobs. I mean, he was with Sacramento, Cavs twice, Lakers, and he gets it all. It all comes together with this team.
Honorary coach for me is the head coach of the New Albany baseball program, Michael Sandman. In 3 years with the team, or 4 years with the team, he has an 80-38 record. They were runners up in the state last year, champs this year. Through their 6-game district regional state tournament run, they gave up a total of 4 runs in those 6 games. They also played this year without a home field. I didn't realize that, but they're building a new elementary school, and it was on the side of their athletic field where the baseball stadium was. So they played games all over the place this year, a lot at Ohio Dominican. And also, I learned this weekend after their state championship win, Coach Sandman, a loyal listener of not only 97.1 The Fan, but Bishop and Friends.
That's a dang good job out of him. Well done. Well done, Coach. Congratulations on that one. I'm going to go Mauricio Pochettino. He is the head coach of the U.S. men's soccer team. It was the most inspired I've ever seen him play.
You just wanted to say that name.
I was nervous about saying this name because no, I'm not really good at that. I'm very nervous about it. For the longest time, I just referred to Giannis as Greek Freak because I was terrified of saying Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I just kept calling him the Greek Freak. It's a win against Paraguay. So what? It's the way they played. they were just relentless in attack, and it was fun, and I'm in, and hopefully it continues against Australia on Friday at 3 o'clock when you get to see that game be played. Jalen Brunson, with his win over the weekend, entered a group that is quite unique. A group that I think there are a couple of guys around here that would also belong to. We'll try to make sense of all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine to kick off the work week and much cooler with highs only getting in the mid to low 70s. And then for tonight, mostly clear overnight with lows down into the 50s. Tuesday will be a mostly sunny day and warmer with a little bit more wind and highs in the mid to upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And when you've been around for a while, you learn a few things. You learn what you know, and you know what you don't. And one thing I don't know a dang thing about is how to deal with pets like ants or termites. So what I do in these circumstances, I turn to my friends at Rose Pest Solutions. Over 165 years of experience, they've mastered their craft as nation's oldest family-owned pest control company. The pros from Rose protect Columbus homes and businesses with expert pest prevention and treatment. Got a pest problem? Rose is the solution. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. Jalen Brunson, by winning a championship in New York as a point guard. And that part's pretty important because New York and point guards, and we'll talk with Scooney about this in about 11 minutes, that's what they're synonymous for. It's a point guard town. That's what they do. It's a lead guard, alpha point guard town. And for Brunson to be the best player on a New York Knicks championship team as a point guard puts him in a stratosphere of popularity in New York that I would think would be matched, my hunches, historically by only Jeter, historically DiMaggio, Mantle, that level of super to stardom, probably a little bit Mark Messier. If you think back to the Rangers and breaking that streak, that was all the way back in 1994, mind you. Broadway Joe, that type of stuff. He immediately goes to that stratosphere. We have these guys in college football too. I think a great example of this is Lou Holtz. I think Lou Holtz is beloved more in South Bend compared to the rest of the country, the way that they view Lou Holtz. Another one in college football is probably Steve Spurrier in Gainesville. I think we have one here locally. I think Tress. I think Tress is revered here.
He's the lieutenant governor that probably could win the gubernatorial spot if he ran.
He would 100% win if he ran. But I don't know that Jim Tressel is thought of nationally in the stratosphere, fair or not, the way that he is here. Here, he's, I mean, him and Urban are at the, they're at the table with Woody. I mean, those two guys. And Tress's popularity is something around here that is, for people who aren't from here, I think it's hard for them to wrap their head around. He has the national championship, and that's allows for it. But if you weren't here to live through the 90s and the inability to beat Michigan, you don't have a true understanding or appreciation of Jim Tressel. And there's countless examples of this around the country of people who are beloved in specific markets that outpaces dramatically the way that they are around the country. And I think Brunson's entered that category where in New York City, I mean, you think about like Walt Clyde Frazier still showing up at all of this stuff and dressing the way that he dresses all these years later. That was 53 years ago. That's what Jalen Brunson just signed up for. New York City sports immortality, something that Tress has here. Ohio sports immortality. Jim Tressel has that here. And I don't know if you went outside the market, if the appreciation were there the way that it is here.
Yeah, I wonder, because Brunson's 29.
Yep.
And I wonder for the Knicks, because it's going to be so difficult, even for the Spurs, even for the Thunder, even for the Cavaliers to stack this. But because they ended 53 years, and a lot of that in my lifetime, just incompetence to win the way that they did, with not a lot of people going into even the final series giving them that much of a chance. But to perform the way that he performed in moments in the Eastern Conference Finals, and certainly, you know, game one with 30 points after they, he was spectacular the entire series, that he needed to be at moments they needed him. And that's something, I'm just trying to think of like the sports New York pantheon for people my age.
It's,
that puts him there with Eli, that puts him there with Jeter.
Even the 29-point comeback, I mean, that's Buckner.
Yeah.
In the 86 Mets. I mean, it's that type of circumstance.
And I understand why New York fans would feel that way, because analytically, the Cavaliers beat the Knicks in that series. So it's kind of crazy to me that they just took out the Spurs in five games, and people are like, well, the Spurs choked those games. They had leads, and they just let them go away, and they're fourth best for odds to win it all next year. And there's so many people saying that this Knicks team, it's been in the chat all day today, that this Knicks team was a fluke. They're one of the worst NBA champion teams of all time. And I think that's just crazy. Maybe the sum of their parts is just better than everybody else. Maybe their parts aren't as good, but when you put those parts together, they're a better team. And Jalen Brunson, like I said, he's just an alpha. I don't know if you ever go out and play a game of pickup ball and Jalen Brunson shows up. He's the guy you're taking first, but he's probably the guy you should.
He's not in the Eastern Conference the first, second, or maybe even third point guard picked.
Well, he should be now. And he's the other thing, yeah. And I do think there's a lot of parallels between him and, if you think about this experience, and a little bit of Tress's national championship team. I mean, Ohio State had a monkey the size of King Kong on its back after the 90s. And Tress called his shot. You're going to be proud of us. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, he called his shot. Then he beat him. Then he won a national title. And it set it all up. It takes, to be audacious like that, that is something that, I mean, I've been around sports, professional, college, youth, all of this stuff through the years. Like, you either have that in you or you don't. You can't manufacture it. In fact, when it's manufactured, it is so easily sniffed out. False bravado. You can see it coming from 1,000 miles away. 1,000 miles away. There are 1,000 examples of this. I mean, an example of this that I think is interesting, and this is Jalen Brunson was going to be beloved no matter what because of what he has done for New York. And he would have very easily have been, I think that a lot of those Knicks that showed up, whether it's John Starks or Patrick Ewing, all of those guys that showed up to all these games, they're like Bernie is to Cleveland, where they didn't win it, but they're beloved. I mean, that's, Bernie's more popular in Cleveland than LeBron James. He's more popular in Cleveland than I think any athlete is anywhere. And that's one of those things where, like, if you went to somebody who was from Phoenix and you said, who's the most popular sports athlete to ever play in Cleveland? My guess is that the answer would not be Bernie.
It would be LeBron.
I would think.
Yeah.
Or Jim Brown, or, you know. Same would be true, I think, if you went to somebody in Baton Rouge and said, who's the most beloved coach that Ohio State has had in football over the last 40, 50 years, my guess is most people would say Herbs or even Ryan. But I think it'd probably be Tress. Probably would be. Be close. They're all awesome. We're lucky in that respect. I think Tress might be the answer to that.
That's crazy to think about.
It is, but there is something. It is the moment in time that someone is in a space And this was the perfect moment in time for Jalen Brunson, the way that it was the perfect moment in time for Jim Tressel, the way that it was the perfect moment in time for Lou Holtz in South Bend in 88, the way that it was the perfect moment in time for Spurrier at Florida, and all of, there's a million of these that are out here. Bernie in the 80s, there's a perfect moment in time. I don't know who that would be with Cincinnati. I don't know who that would be. Most popular Cincinnati athlete. Is it Barry Larkin?
Probably Pete Rose.
Still?
I think.
If you're younger than us, I don't know.
Boomer Esiason? I don't know if
it would be. Might be Burrow.
Today, right now, it's Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I don't know who the Reds' answer to that is. Like, who's the king
probably
of this?
Probably Larkin, maybe Joey Votto.
We may just stumbled on a segment.
Bo, by the way, you were
king
talking
of a city.
You were talking about the Knicks fan or Knicks players that were there. Did I see Charles Oakley was in the Garden?
I missed it. If he was,
I thought
not
I saw
in the Garden.
They were in San Antonio on Saturday. My guess is
he was in the building in San Antonio.
I hope so. Because what he said about James Dolan wasn't wrong. Just no. You know. Just. And then the moment he said it, he got a lot of support.
He did. Yeah. Yeah. All right, we'll get Scooney's take on all of this in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
New York Knicks and a 53-year championship drought over the weekend. The Carolina Hurricanes and a 20-year championship drought. I don't know if we can call 2 decades a drought. 53 is a drought. Honestly, of all of the long droughts in professional sports, I just saw no scenario where this one would ever be one that was going to be quenched. Just didn't seem like it. The ownership was such a problem there. And even you think about a few years ago, how close you thought the Maple Leafs were, and certainly they are on that list. Obviously the two Ohio NFL teams are pretty high on that list of teams who haven't yet won championships and are chasing them. The Guardians have the longest streak in Major League Baseball after the Red Sox and White Sox have all extinguished those streaks in recent years. So, they did it. And they did it in a way that nobody saw coming. The other thing that they did that was pretty cool here, and you got to give James Dolan a great deal of credit for this, but they hired Leon Rose to run the operation. Leon Rose is a longtime basketball executive. His sports agent is what he's most famous for. He represented a number of prominent NBA players, including LeBron James, Allen Iverson as well. He knew the sport. He knew how to put it all together. And they hired him in 2020 to run the Knicks, and he's been in charge that entire time. And he built this team in his way, in his vision for it, and it came up as big a aces as you can possibly be. It's a pretty remarkable story that they were able to do it, and it ends a drought that, quite honestly, you never thought would ever be ended. I didn't, certainly. It just seemed impossible for them to somehow end that thing, and they did. And Brunson's going to be in the middle of it. It's going to be the Nova Knicks and all of the things that go with that. So pretty remarkable run for them, and what was a pretty remarkable stretch of hoops, and one that ended in historic fashion.
And we talk about the 53-year drought. You talked about Tress in the last segment in Ohio State football. That's what it was like for Ohio State football. And there were bites at the apple throughout the years. The Knicks had some. They didn't have the track record that Ohio State football did. There was a lot of bad down years for the Knicks, but those mid-90s there, they were very, very close with Ewing and Oakley and Mason and Starks and all those guys. And I just go back to this team. In an era where it seems like we've gone away from building a true team and going to super teams with two or three superstars, they kind of had a hierarchy. Like, Brunson is the lead. Karl Anthony Towns is a superstar, and he's really good, but he's okay being second fiddle. And then you got a guy like OG Anunoby, who's so good but plays so hard on the defensive end. Mitchell Robinson, who has come away, around. And then Hart and Bridges, who have played so much basketball with Jalen Brunson. This was like a true team, and I think that's why maybe people are kind of saying, yeah, they're not that great because they don't have all the flashy, shiny toys. But when you add the ingredients together, it just makes a great meal.
Yeah, they're bulldogs, man. They're just tough. I think you've 1-2-1-2 a call. I think he's ready now, Beck, if you want to try. But yeah, that's it. Like they built a true team. I mean, none of this is probable. Like to build it around, you know, three guys, you know, guys from Villanova. By the way, they used to have four guys from Villanova, but they packaged one of them to get Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know that even that deal, when that deal was done, was one you thought, well, that's going to shake up the NBA with Karl Towns joining the Knicks. But all of these things worked, everything Leon Rose did. And that's really where it all started. James Dolan, obviously, with the hiring of Leon Rose, that changes everything, and that changes the way that they're built. It's Scoonie Penn joining us now on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. The New York Knicks are NBA champions. How does that sit?
Being a Boston fan, but no.
It's crazy.
No, it sits well, though. You know, my family is going crazy. Obviously, me being born in New York, but a lot of my relatives are diehard Knicks fans. They've been forever. A lot of agony over these years. But, you know, and then obviously my Brunson connection makes it even special. But I was lost for words because they played so good basketball. It just seemed like they was destined, as well as, you know, San Antonio played for, you know, 69% of the time. When it counted, the Knicks just took over and they were the better team.
Scoonie, we have been told that you can't win a championship with small guards. Best player's a small guard, can't win a championship.
Yep, that's what's been said. And I'm glad that, you know, Brunson changed that narrative. Because the one small guard that I always go back to is Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Thomas, he won championships being a small guard. Times were different. And I guess you can classify Steph Curry, but, you know, watching what Brunson done, I think it changed the game of basketball, I think, for another reason. Because now, you know, you have a different mindset. If you're a GM, a president, an owner, you can think, I can get a smaller guard and still win. Because for so long, that wasn't the case, and people are going against that. And more importantly, like, you know, people are doubting Brunson from day one. And he stepped up in every big moment, and he is the king of New York. And just imagine, I was thinking yesterday about it. His name will forever be remembered. Like, we talk about the Walt Frazier's and obviously Ewing and all those guys. Like, Brunson is going to be, like, right there or above those guys forever, which is crazy.
I think he's going to be like Jeter.
Yeah.
Because the Knicks, Scoon, the Knicks don't compete with anybody in New York. Nobody cares about the Nets. You know this. Like, there are a ton of Mets fans. There's obviously more Yankees fans, but there's a ton of Mets fans. Jets, Giants, they all split it. New York is the Knicks.
Yes. Yes, they are. And obviously me and Noah, because my family is all Knicks fans.
Yes.
A lot of them love the Knicks. And, you know, they always talk about the 70 Knicks. Obviously, I wasn't able to watch them, but that's what they remember. That's what they hold their hat on. And now for them to have, you know, these Knicks win a championship in 2026. And you know, New Yorkers are the cockiest people on planet Earth. Now you give the New York Knicks a championship?
Oh,
like,
no.
I think we've talked about this before. Maybe we haven't, but we are about to see the wildest, biggest parade we've probably ever seen. Ever. Like, I don't care, sports, whatever you want to name it. This is going to be the wildest one ever. Thursday in New York City.
It's going to be nuts. And here, there's one other factor to this, and really, you have to really love hoop to be aware of this. So, New York is probably the epicenter for basketball in this country, one of them, certainly.
Yep.
But there's one other thing that really matters to New York. Point guards.
Point guards.
Point guards, Scoon. They revere point guards.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It, because of the toughness. You know, there's one thing about, you know, you have leadership. You have the tenacity, but it's just a New York City street toughness. That's why they've always called them point guards. They've had so many great ones. Although Jalen's not from there, he fits that mold. He has that tough, gritty attitude. You know, not super athletic, playing above the rim, but he falls down. He gets knocked down. He gets up. Like, he shows up at big times, and that's New York City attitude, and it fits him perfect.
It absolutely does. I mean, there are people who will tell you Skip to Mailou's the best point guard they've ever seen from New York. Like, that, it's almost like the schoolboy legend stuff. And so for him to be a point guard and to do it, I think it puts him on an all-time, and I know they have a crazy list, but it almost puts him on an all-time Mount Rushmore for New York. I really think so. No, when you factor all of those things in. Yeah.
And it's not a playground. This is the NBA.
That's
right.
He
did it with the New York Knicks. Like, there's no bigger. He did it at Madison Square Garden, the mecca of basketball. And history with his grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren will all hear about this and see their Jalen Brunson, granddad, great-great-great-great-granddad will be etched in stone of basketball, especially in New York City.
Absolutely, Schoon. And then some credit to Leon Rose for building it this way.
Yes.
I mean, they were the fourth betting favorite in the East to start the playoffs, but he got the Nova Knicks. He got guys who knew how to win, and they built a true team, Schoon.
Like, Leon did a great job, obviously, with the connection, him with CAA leaving and then going to the Knicks. And if you look at the roster, all those guys are CAA guys a lot, because Towns is, Brunson is. So New York knew what they were doing with getting Leon Rose there and what he bring along with him. Hats off to those guys. They made the right trades. You know, Jose Alvarado did a great job. And, you know, they just made the right moves at the right time.
They really did. What is your Brunson connection? You go back with his dad?
Oh, well, you didn't know. We went to the same high school. So
wait, his dad, what?
So his dad has always been like my big brother. Like, he was one of the reasons why I love playing basketball, because when I was a kid, I used to go watch him play. We went to the boys club. His stepdad ran the boys club that I grew up in. So me and Rick known each other since I was a kid. So
oh, my God. I didn't know that. Career.
Yeah, so I watched his whole high school career, and my whole goal was to do everything he did. He played varsity as a freshman. I wanted to be varsity as a freshman. I broke all his – then with the Boston Shootout, which is like – AAU now is taking over, but the Boston Shootout used to be really, really huge. He was a sophomore who started. The other only sophomore to start from a Boston team was Patrick Ewing, and then Rick Brunson did it, and then I did it next. And then he won a state championship. I won state. He lost 8 games in high school. I lost 7. Then I broke his scoring record. Everything he did, I wanted to do. So Rick was always like my goal. Like, he's one of my goats. I always said it. Isaiah Thomas, Rick Brunson, Kenny Anderson, those are my guys. So in the summertime, when I left Ohio State, you know, in the summer, I would go work with Rick sometimes down in Philly. Mm-hmm. And Jalen was born, and Jalen would be with us. We would take Jalen with us while we work out. So the history with the Brunsons, and I talk to Rick all the time to this day, you know, Rick has really been like one of my big brothers, like, since I was a kid. And the funny story about this is, like, Rick and I, we used to hate Rick sometimes when we were little, because he used to bully us as kids in the boys club, you know, because we weren't big enough, kick us out of the gym. You know, he was kind of an a-hole to us at times. But as we got older and I got older, like, he helped me in my basketball career. He took me to the gym while he was in high school. I was in middle school to go work out. So, you know, the connection with the Brunson family, and to cap it off, I went with his sister to her junior prom.
Come on.
Yes. I went to her junior prom. Yeah, so my like, their family, I've been tight with them since I was a kid. So
Dude, I just associated him with Philly. I just so associated him with Temple and Philly, I didn't even realize he was a Boston guy.
Yeah, he moved from Syracuse. We were the same high school. He's 4 years ahead of me. He left, and I came in right after him, and, you know, the rest is history.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That is something when you see, and the idea that you saw Jalen so young, and then to see him reach this—that's, and he's wearing number 11. You know, there's a lot of really cool stuff there with all of it. So that's sweet, man. I did not know that part of it. I just want to talk to you. Hey, I love talking to you, but just the point guard part of it and the New York part of it. I knew you'd have a great perspective on that. I didn't know the personal connection was there. That's awesome, pal.
Yep, it's there. It's there. It's been there the whole time, and, you know, I congratulate him. I know he's busy now, but we will connect when he's done partying. You know, because I know it's going to be a long time. So when they played in Cleveland, I went to the games to go check them out, you know, speak to Brunson, Jalen every so often. Good kid, you know, watch Jalen grow up. And his dad's always been on him, but they've done it the right way. And that's what I always liked about it, that he done it the right way.
That's awesome. Great stuff, buddy. Thank you so much for your time. We'll do it again soon.
Always. Take care, both.
There he goes. Scooty Penn, 1-2-1-2, two-time first team, all Big Ten with the Buckeyes, and of course, an Ohio State Athletics Hall of Famer. Get you three things on a Monday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here on the
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
You ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The show that understands the importance of a situational beverage. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do you have in the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, what was the best sporting event from over the weekend? Your options were the men's national team against Paraguay on Friday, the NBA Finals Game 5 Saturday, Stanley Cup Final Game 6 on Sunday, and then UFC Freedom 250. It was also Sunday night. Right now, 60%. Say the U.S. men's national team against Paraguay was the best of the weekend.
I am not a UFC guy. I just haven't been.
I am.
You are? What did you like? What did you watch? What did you think? What did you make of it?
Yeah, it's one of my three things.
Oh.
It's okay. One of my three things.
Okay. Yeah, it's not for me. It's, you know, got to stay in your lane, find the things you like.
It sucked being up till 2 in the morning last night, just about, I'll tell you that.
Well, you climate,
poor,
right?
Poor decision out of me.
Yeah. Let's hit three things on a Monday.
Three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
So, number one for me, this was my last completely unobstructed, no obligation summer weekend, full stop. This last one was it. That's it. The rest of this summer, I am either youth lacrossing, family obligations, be it in Montana or here. So this is it. This is the last one. I think we did pretty well. We golfed Friday night. We got a little family hoops game on Saturday. We did some pickleball, grilled out some steaks, went swimming. Kind of perfect. Kind of everything that you'd want a summer weekend to be. The weather was largely spectacular for it. Home run. So it is. I sometimes lament the weather around here, and there were some dicey moments late afternoon yesterday, but for the most part, pretty picture perfect, and was a hell of a weekend, kids.
I saw this on the internet yesterday, so take it with the largest grain of salt humanly possible, but someone was at Costco and found a giant case of white Monster energy drink. When I say giant, I mean this case had over 7,300 cans available at Costco. So I'm going to need someone that frequents Costco to check and see if that's available at the Columbus one.
I can go there in 5 minutes.
Yeah. It rings out to, and they did the math, $1.66 a can, but it's $10,000, and I think they have to deliver it to you with a forklift.
Holy cow!
What are you gonna? Where are you storing it?
Come on a semi truck?
I don't know. I don't know where you'd store it. I don't know any of this. I'd imagine because you can keep them warm. It's not like a thing. If you put it in the fridge, you can't keep it in the fridge, but. He was drinking 7,300 cans of white Monster Energy.
I'll tell you what you do. You have if you own one of these youth sports complexes, you buy that and you sell them for $7 a pop.
Load up the coolers, boys.
Yep.
First thing for me, since we kind of talked about it already, UFC Freedom 250 was last night, and you can say, well, it was stupid that they had to do it on a Sunday, and that should never be at the White House, and you can say all of that stuff, but the card was great last night. You had seven fights, and all of them finished via a stoppage, knockouts. There were no decisions on the card last night, and it's probably the best UFC event that I've seen. And probably it's been a while. It's been a handful of years. It was excellent last night in the like the flyovers from the Jets and everything was very cool. You can pick it apart if you want, but the fight itself, the UFC put on a great show last night.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Number two for me. So one of the things that the boys are really starting to get into, which could be a little bit terrifying, is they like to play a little cards. So we were playing a little blackjack, which led to Texas Hold'em. And of course, NBC is like, we should play for real money. And I'm like, no, we probably shouldn't play for real money. And he's like, no, we should play for real money. Okay, fine. So of course I took him down, and the others as well. And one of the little touches that I added to the poker is on the final reveal card of Texas Hold'em, I transform myself into Teddy KGB and I said, last card coming. And it drives them nuts. They have no idea what it's from. I just find it so funny. If only I'm entertained, then that's a win for me. But poker with the boys. We've added that to our activities here.
Second thing for me, so it looks like the Attorney General for Kansas, Chris Kobach, has jumped into the fray with the Big 12, Texas Tech, Brendan Sorsby. He released a statement of support. Quote, the Big 12 should not be intimidated by the Texas AG's office. The Kansas Attorney General's office stands ready to assist the Big 12. I want this to be over so bad, but I do think we and the royal we with microphones and reach have a responsibility to keep discussing this.
Well, you're going to get it. I think you're going to get an end in 7 days.
I hope so. I do hope so.
That's what I think.
Second thing for me, so the hotel we were staying at this weekend up in Akron had DirecTV, and I guess DirecTV is in a pissing match with whoever owns the ABC affiliate up there. So in the hotel, we could not watch Stanley Cup Finals or NBA Finals when we got back to the rooms if we were going to do so. And at one point, we got back. It was late at night anyway. I tried to pull up the NBA Finals on my tablet, but the internet was going slow and it just wasn't working. I feel like in situations like that, somehow they have to allow like places like that, hotels or businesses, access to this so people can watch the stuff. And
yeah,
like I'm not going to Walmart and buying an antenna to plug into my hotel TV.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's a shame. Finally, number three, quickly for me. I was just informed by my wife that Buddy Garrity rolled in something yellow and it really stinks. So that's how my afternoon's going to be spent.
T's and P's. T's and P's
with
you.
Not going to be great.
This afternoon. I did see
any number of things.
I love being clean. I love cleaning. Player who impressed for me, Jameis Winston. So I guess he's a Fox correspondent for the World Cup. He was in Dallas at AT&T/Arlington Stadium, and he helped clean up after the match with the Japanese fans.
Yep.
And that's awesome. Jameis Winston's awesome.
Yep.
Don't be like Bo. Enjoy your afternoon and do so by sticking here and listening to Rothman and I. Still have Adam King at 1:30. I don't know how enjoyable that is, but Stephen Means at 2:30 talking Buckeyes will be enjoyable. No AR today. Dylan Tyer in with Maddie.
You have that to look forward to, which is very nice. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection. Choose from 26 stylish colors and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save.